I'd like to welcome all of you to the call, and we thank you for taking the time out and joining us today. Today's call is a variation from our normal calls, as the call is geared for the staff members of the firm. And one reminder before I introduce Sean and Chris, the call is being recorded, and it will be available on our website for download in the next day. If you'd like information on how to download, you can send me an email, and it's susan@atticusonline.com, and I'll be happy to send off instructions on how to get to those calls. And let me introduce Sean and Chris. Many of you may already know Sean McNallis. Sean's a senior practice advisor with Atticus and also provides training and certification to Atticus's team of coaches. Sean's also authored or co-authored a number of books on practice and time management as well as marketing. Chris Lee has been involved with Atticus for many years, and she's a big fan of the Atticus way of doing things. Chris co-created the Atticus staff program with Sean McNallis a few years back, and she led each training teleconference as well. Chris has walked in your shoes as a support staff member for more than 25 years. She also owns a small business, so she appreciates both perspectives. No matter which role Chris finds herself in, she's known for making things happen. So with that, Sean, I'll go ahead and turn the call over to you.
Okay. Thank you very much, Susan. And what we'd like to do is now have everyone go ahead and punch 6 on their phones so that you can be muted. This will ensure that the sound quality is the best. We do want to welcome Darcy in Tallahassee, Arlene, Juliet, Lisa, and Sandy in Garden City, New York, Tina Nobles in Louisiana, Sean and Sandy in Indiana, and Chad in Jackson, Mississippi. Now, I'm specifically not giving the firm names that all of these folks belong to because I want to ensure confidentiality among this group, and also since this is being recorded, I want all the assistants to be able to speak freely about what it is that they do and not belie any confidentiality since they're going to be talking about working with their attorneys. So we want to respect the privacy of the attorneys that they work with and while we discuss them on this call. So we will be, I'll be asking all of our callers to minimize references to their attorney even as we're talking about them. We really want the speakers to have the maximum amount of time on this call because it really makes a difference to hear from the people that are doing, following the coaching that we've set forth for a lot of the people that have become designated hitters and marketing assistants.
Mentor and associates.
We've got paralegals on the line. We've got office managers on the line. We've got attorneys on the line. So we've got representatives from the whole law office here, but we're really going to focus on those people that act as designated hitters, assistants to their attorneys, sometimes time cops for their attorneys, and also marketing assistants. So let's start first with something that I like to call the time cop, but that's kind of a generalization that covers a lot of areas. These would be the assistants and paralegals for whom it falls to organize their attorney. Often they screen phone calls. They make sure that the attorney stays behind closed doors when they're doing production time. They help keep the attorney's desk clean. They help keep the work moving through the attorney's office. They make sure the attorney gets to their appointments on time. There are several folks on this call to whom this applies. And so I'm going to ask a couple of questions and see if all of our guest speakers on the call would like to contribute what it is that they do in sort of responding to the need to organize their attorney. So this is an open question for any of the speakers, and let me just ask you, starting out with this question, how do you help your attorney follow their calendar? We know that often attorneys are working, their calendar, computer calendar is buried behind several different screens. They don't pay attention to it. Anybody now among all of you, Darcy, Arlene, Juliet, Lisa, Sandy, Tina, Sean, Sandy, or Chad can answer. Just pop right in and give us your ideas.
Sean, this is Darcy.
Hi, Darcy.
Hi. One of the big things that we do is to try to constantly remind the attorney when something pops up on our calendar. We have, of course, everything that's on our attorney's calendar is also on our own. And we have them set for a 15-minute reminder ahead of time.
Oh,
and that way, if we know that the attorney is working on a project or something that she's behind closed doors on, we can send her, we also use instant messaging in office, and we can send her a quick instant message saying, you know, don't forget you have so-and-so or such-and-so called to make.
Right. Okay, great. Thank you, Darcy. Anyone else among the guest speakers want to contribute what they do?
Hi, this is Chad in Jackson.
Hi, Chad.
We use a lot of the same things that as you were talking about. We have reminders set up. We use precedent. Also, I know for a weekly calendar, we also have weekly meetings Monday morning.
Madison, Chapel Hill.
Discuss, you know, what may be happening during the week or big events that are planned. And also, we have a huge team approach to our firm where everyone meets on the cases. Our receptionist is invaluable because she types up every Monday we have something on our desk that just has all the events for the week, like lined out per day, what attorneys assigned to it. So we always have reminders in front of us, which is very helpful.
And so that's printed out and put somewhere on everyone's desk where they can see it all the time?
Absolutely.
Okay, that sounds like a good system.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone else care to throw in what they do? Okay, let's move to the next question, and that is, how do you help your attorney manage their projects? Obviously, all the attorneys are, you know, masterful at multitasking, but every now and then it's hard for them to manage all the things they've got going on. Anyone care to throw out what it is that they do to help their attorneys manage all these projects?
Sean, it's Darcy again.
Okay. Thanks, Doris.
One of the things that we have implemented that's obviously something that we learned from Atticus is batching. And a lot of times what happens is when the attorney is involved in a large project, and especially one that has a very sensitive time deadline, she will be behind closed doors, and we try to make an effort in the office to make sure that she has personal things, you know, that would come in handy, you know, make sure that when we're going to close the door for her power hour time or the time that she's going to sequester herself to work on a brief, for instance, you know, we say, hey, can we bring you a Coke or something like that? But in addition to that, we have all of the other staff, generally speaking, what we do regularly is batch questions and batch information so that we're not constantly interrupting her and bring things to her at our designated time of the day.
And, Darcy, you're a good one to ask about this. How do you resist the temptation to ask those questions as they come up? Because I know you're working on a lot of things, too, that you want to get finished with. How do you resist the temptation to just ask those questions and instead of batching them?
Usually what we do is try to first ascertain if there's someone else in the office that can answer the question for us.
Okay.
Just because it's something that we would, you know, automatically think we would take to our attorney doesn't mean that it's not something that couldn't necessarily be figured out in another way.
Okay.
If it's something that absolutely cannot wait, you know, it's an actual dire emergency, of course we'll have to interrupt her. But one of the things that I'm always telling her is put your phone on do not disturb, turn your instant messenger off, don't respond to any emails or actually turn your email off. And that way, when she's ready, she can check back in a couple of hours. She can check her emails. She can check things or things like that. We try to avoid having to knock on her door or come into her office to interrupt her.
Okay, good. And, you know, while you're on this subject, another one of my questions was, how do you guys decide as a team what can be interrupted, you know, when you can interrupt the attorney's production time and when you can't? Can you talk about that, Darcy?
Well, naturally, we don't ever want to interrupt her, especially when she's working on a time-sensitive thing. But the general rule is, if it's something that I can't even off the top of my head think of an emergency that's such an emergency that you have to interrupt her right then. Now, she'll usually send out an email or a sticky to us saying who she might be waiting for a call from.
Mm-hmm.
And those would be the only things that she's to be interrupted for,
okay.
Period.
Okay.
And if it doesn't fall into those categories, we don't interrupt her.
Okay.
And if you do, you know, you're going to get in trouble.
Yeah, well, there should be consequences, you know, because
absolutely.
A lot of times, you know, you just sort of retrain the attorney to accept interruptions, and then the production time just goes, you know.
Well, unfortunately, the other side of that is sometimes if someone interrupts for something that isn't truly an emergency, it does distract the attorney, and because she feels that because they've even taken the time to interrupt her, that it is an emergency, so it breaks her away from what she's doing. And then she's, again, having to refocus her attention back on her project, which, as many know, can take up to 15 or 20 minutes to get back into the mode you were in when you were working.
Exactly. Sometimes it's hard to hook back up with that train of thought that you lost when you got interrupted. So,
right.
Yeah. Great, great, great. And another thing that often falls to assistance on every level is to help the attorney keep the desk clean. And, Arlene, I know that you're very good at this. Can you talk a little bit about how you help keep the desk clean for your attorney? Arlene, are you there? Are you on mute, perhaps? We can't hear you.
Hello?
Hello?
Can you hear me, Sean?
We can hear you. Why don't you move a little bit closer to the phone?
Okay. The wire didn't stretch. One thing I've got to say about Maureen, she is extremely motivated to get her desk clean. So that's a big plus right to begin with. I also have a very large to-do list for myself, and I use that with her as well. Anything that she needs in an hour, tomorrow, next week, goes on my to-do list that's on the computer, and I review it every morning and make a list when I go in to clear off her desk so that we don't only get what she has on her desk cleaned off, we get what she may not see, but I know is coming up for her. And that,
because you're tracking it, because you're tracking it on your own to-do list?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay, all right. And talk about how often you go in and how long you spend when you're helping.
She'll let me short. It depends on her schedule. I try to do it at least two or three times a week. If we can manage to get through half an hour, three quarters of an hour uninterrupted, we can generally get an awful lot of work accomplished.
Okay, good. And let me ask you this, Arlene, because you touched on a subject here. How do you know when to push for getting the desk clean? Because you know that she wants you to be very proactive in helping you. So how do you know when to push for that and then when to back off because she's really busy?
Well, I can see the piles, and when she can't find something, you know, I ask her several times a day. But if she's got meetings, I just know I can't get in there. Sometimes I'll get in there at 5 o'clock when it's time to go home, and we'll just, you know, do 10 or 15 minutes, and it makes a difference.
Okay, so if you can't do your normal morning time, you'll try to do it something in the afternoon.
We don't necessarily do it in the morning.
Oh, you don't?
It depends on her schedule. Whenever we have time and we can get together, we do it.
Okay, good. All right, wonderful. Thanks for that. And now let me ask a question that's a little bit different. And, again, this is open for anybody on the call to answer of our guest speakers. And that is, how do you help your attorney maintain any internal meetings they might have, such as staff meetings or case status review meetings or morning check-in meetings? You know, even if it's on the calendar, sometimes they resist doing it. Can anybody talk to us about how they help prod their attorney into remembering and attending these things?
Hey, this is Chad in Jackson.
Hi, Chad.
Hey, like I said, we meet every single Monday morning, and everyone knows around here you can't schedule anything on a Monday morning. We try to avoid any court appearances on Monday if we can. I mean, it's just absolutely mandatory, and that's where we go through every single case we have here at the firm, and everyone attends the meeting. Receptionist, runner, everyone is involved with that. And also, we have developed a case management notebook that we have that just is alphabetized, and under the tabs it has, like, basic information about the facts and, you know, what needs to happen, what needs to be calendared, you know, which, you know, the primary attorney and the secondary attorney. So if the primary attorney is unavailable or in their production hour or behind closed doors, we have a second authority to go to. So, I mean, that really helps to get everyone on board so everyone knows what's going on.
Have you had a lot of trouble enforcing the attendance at the meeting, or has it just been stated that it's absolutely mandatory and you must attend?
It is absolutely mandatory. You must attend.
And you go through all of your cases or part of your caseload on a weekly basis?
Everything.
Everything? And yes. About how long does it take?
Probably about 2 hours.
Okay. And I like that you said you had everybody in this meeting. This is something
right.
I talk to my clients a lot about. People will say, well, so-and-so really isn't attached to these, you know, files. Do they really need to be in here? Talk about why you guys have everyone in the meeting.
Oh, it's just it's absolutely necessary, I think. You know, there are instances when, you know, attorneys may be out or, you know, and we stress that to our clients when we talk to them. You know, if for some reason you can't get, you know, Sally or whatever, if she's busy, ask for Chad. You know, everyone knows what's going on in your case. You have a complete team that knows what's going on. So if these clients call and have, like, a minor question or something that may you may not necessarily need to bother an attorney with that you can just answer real quick for them. I mean, it's absolutely beneficial to have everyone to have the knowledge that of what's going on in every case.
Excellent. And let me ask you this, too, Chad. It sounds like you have your procedures very well outlined and checklisted. Talk about how long it took you to create those procedures or create whatever outlines and checklists you guys use to direct the flow of work in your cases.
It has taken a very long time. And I think the process is still ongoing because I think things change. And as you go and you live things and you learn things, you're always updating what needs to happen next or something that you may not have even thought about. And I think the thing that I'm lucky is that with our boss here, he is all bought into that. Like, he loves a checklist, and he loves to make sure that everything's streamlined. He doesn't think you should have to really think about a lot of things. If you've done it enough, you should know what's going to happen, and there should be ways to go ahead and streamline that process so we can keep moving and keep going. And I have been here almost 7 years, and the process is still ongoing. But, I mean, we have a checklist for everything, and it just takes the time to sit down with someone and to sit down with the team and develop these checklists and develop these procedures, and then everyone knows what is expected and what's going to happen.
Excellent. The one thing I do like about a checklist, Chad, and you touched on this a little bit, was that a well-developed checklist, which can take some time to do, should represent the best thinking of all the best minds in the firm, so that, like you said, you shouldn't have to do a lot of creative thinking, not that there won't be those occasions where you might need to, but if you've got a really good checklist, a lot of the contingencies should be covered in the checklist, and some real creative thinking should be already in the checklist for you to tap into. Okay, good. So now let's talk about how any of you protect the attorney's power hour time. Darcy talked about this a little bit, but I'd like to hear from some of the rest of you. How do you protect the attorney's power hour time when they're supposed to be focused on production? Because we know sometimes it's easy to get distracted. Sometimes the attorneys even want to be distracted. They may even get bored and welcome some interruptions. How do any of you help them stay focused during production time?
Well, I think, like, this is Chad again. I think what Darcy said, we do a lot of the same things. We make sure that they put their phones on Do Not Disturb, make sure that they don't answer their emails, that we try not to send them stickies. And I know, like, in extreme cases, when we've had attorneys that may have a brief or something due, they will actually leave the office and go home and work on their go to my PC or log in from their house. And I mean, it's hard, especially like Wendor said, when you have a question, but really there's not very many cases when there's an extreme emergency that you have to interrupt them. So I think it's just a matter of that mindset as, they're not here. They're shut off from the world. You can't talk to them. Too bad, you know?
Yeah, right. Okay, good. Now, let me ask you another question that I've heard is a common complaint among team members, and that is they hate it when they get a lot of work dumped on them at the last minute from the attorney. You know, the attorney may have been procrastinating and delaying when they were going to work on something. All of a sudden, they get their work done, and it creates a lot of extra work for the assistant. Does anyone have any ideas on how to preempt that from happening? Tricky question, I know.
Well, this is Chad again. I'm sorry to keep answering.
That's okay, please.
But I just want to tell you kind of what we do. That's another reason for our weekly meetings. I mean, I just cannot stress enough how beneficial this is for everyone on the team, because we really do know what's going on, and it just interacts with our calendar, and we have, you know, wireless network up here so we can look at our case management calendar while we're in the meeting, and we can look at everything that needs to happen. And with that case management notebook, we know what events are coming up or what assignments need to be taken care of. And that's just something that we can look at throughout the week and know, well, this tabs on what's going on better than just waking up one day and coming into work and thinking you're going to have this great day, and then this attorney saying, oh, well, guess what? I finally decided to do my work, so here's all your stuff.
All
right. So I just think that helps just to know, to have accountability throughout the week.
Okay, great. Exxon. Yes.
This is Darcy. Just to chime in on that just a little bit. Like Chad's office, we do have, unlike the Monday meetings that they have, we do have regularly scheduled staff meetings on Mondays and Thursdays. And we have that time set aside for, I mean, it's on our calendars a year in advance. So
uh-huh.
that schedules are not, client schedule appointments and things like that are not scheduled on top of that time.
Excellent.
It's dedicated solely for the purpose of going through administrative matters first, and then, of course, client file review. And during that meeting is when we make assignments to all the attorneys and the paralegals and the other office staff as to what to expect, what needs to be done, and what the deadlines are. And we put those deadlines on the calendar. And oftentimes we'll do memos. She'll do memos to the staff giving them specific deadlines, and those are posted on the calendar.
Excellent. Good. I like that a lot. And a lot of firms have become really good at managing themselves by posting internal deadlines, even setting client appointments to make sure that your work gets done in a certain amount of time. So management by deadline is a great way to do it, and I like that so many firms are having these case status meetings too, because they really do make a huge difference. Arlene, can you talk a little bit about the staff meetings that you guys have? Arlene, are you with us, or are you on mute?
I didn't unmute me, sorry.
That's okay.
Staff meetings are a little different. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay, our administrative workers, and then we break off, and whoever doesn't need to in on the discussion of the individual cases leaves the meeting. So I actually find it a little bit frustrating, because I don't know what's going on with everything, and I have to ask someone for an update on their notes. So I'm not always up on everything.
Okay. All right. So that would then be what you have to deal with if you just have the particular people in the meeting as opposed to the whole team like Chad was talking about. Okay, great. Any other comments, Arlene, from any of Juliet, Lisa, Sandy, any of you want to talk about the meeting?
I can't see the reason why I have a particular area that I work on in the firm, why I should have to be involved in the rest of the staff ongoings of what, you know, their cases, because I don't work on it at all, so I could use that time better work on my own matters.
Yeah, you know, in some firms there's a little more cross communication and a little less specializing. So it may work better in your case. Now, let me ask you guys another question, and that is about how you manage yourself and if you have your own production time. You know, we talk about production time being uninterrupted time. I know that uninterrupted time is next to impossible for many of you to get. But how do you guys get your work done in the midst of all the interruptions that you have to constantly deal with? Anybody?
Sean,
There is no power hour for any of us, but I think some of us could use, like I could use power hour to do some of my topics that I work on.
Okay, and now some people will, you know, work through their lunch, take a late lunch and use the lunch hour because it's quiet as a time to get their work done. Anybody do that or something similar?
The office is situated, no.
Okay, all right. Chad, how about you? How do you get your work done when you've got a lot on your plate?
Well, I pray that I get an hour. No. I think that a lot of, actually, the most time that I think the best time for me to get my work done is when the attorneys are out in court or something, you know, like that, you know, you try to push off these maybe small things that can wait and just pray that you get some time to yourself to do it. I do not work through my lunch break, though, because that is like my much-needed break, I think, during the day.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just a matter of prioritizing everything and trying to. I try to get here a little earlier in the mornings because that gives me some time to get some things done. But I know I was just sitting there listening to you talk about the power hour, and that is the next issue that we're all sitting here shaking our heads that we were going to bring up and try to see if we can't implement something like that, like a power hour for the staff, you know, once a week, because I think that would be so beneficial. I mean, I would love it.
You know, and it's very tricky to do when you're a team member, especially if you have any, especially if you're a designated hitter and you take a lot of phone calls. What some offices will do is they'll trade off, you know, 1 hour so-and-so will take the phone, the next hour so-and-so will answer the phone. Depending on if your receptionist also needs production time, depending on what her additional responsibilities are, it has a lot to do with the telephone answering responsibilities. But it can be done. I'm here to tell you it can be done. So good luck, and maybe on a future call you can tell us how you managed to do it. Now, let me ask, and this is again for anybody, how do you help the attorney keep the mail sorted and distributed to the appropriate people? Do any of you get involved in distributing mail?
Sean, this is Darcy.
Hi, Darcy.
Hi. We have one person in our office that actually gets the mail. She opens everything, and then she prepares an email to the attorney and to myself, indicating what client it's on and what was received in the mail, and then what she's either done with it or who she's given it to or what action she's taken on her own if it's not something that there needs to be action taken by an attorney or another staff member.
Okay.
That works very well for us because then every staff member, well, the attorney, myself, and then the person that opens the mail who's the other paralegal in our firm, we all know what's come in on a case. We all know what we're not waiting for anymore to come from the court.
Okay, great. And then you just save those in your email so that you can have those to reference in the future?
I can refer back to them in the future if she's indicated, you know, that I've gotten a new case number on a particular case.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't have it in my hand and I just need a case number, I can refer to the email quickly if I know where it came in. But otherwise, it's a good it keeps everyone in the loop on what's going on in that case as well so that both of the paralegals and the attorney know what's come in and what the next step is that we're going to take, and we know what to bring up at the next staff meeting on that case.
Okay, terrific. Great, great. Now, let me ask, and this will be for Tina and also Sean and Sandy, who are also guest speakers and haven't had a chance yet to contribute. Do any of you have any tips or tricks for managing your attorney that we haven't discussed yet? We're hitting the highlights here, but anything that you guys might still want to contribute, something that you do that works? Tina,
Sean. This is Sean.
Hi, Sean.
Can you hear me?
Hi there.
Can.
Hi.
I think we found right now we are opening a second office, and I think just making certain that everyone is on the same page on that Monday meeting and calendaring is very we're in a unique situation because our offices are in two separate time zones.
Oh.
And our attorney works out of both offices. So we're finding it very difficult to manage that, and I think that we had really relied so much on our calendar that now we feel like we're probably doing a lot more backtracking than what we really need to do in trying to confirm that the court he's going to be in today is actually on the right time zone or the time zone we have it scheduled for. So I think what we're finding is just absolutely imperative to meet on Monday and to confirm that your calendaring is accurate.
Excellent. Good. Good thought. Anybody else want to mention any other tip or trick for managing their attorney that they've been using that works?
Sean, this is Tina.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Tina.
What we've started doing with our attorney is we found that he was spending a lot of time in his vehicle because we were in a rural area, and it was a lot of unused time that he's driving. So we've started implementing where, you know, we've scheduled him talks with paralegals on cases during the time that he's actually driving.
Oh, so you're using his drive time as
We're using his
time.
Drive time, right. And another thing, too, this kind of goes back to what you were talking about earlier about paralegals not having enough time to get, you know, stuff done. One thing that we've implemented here is we've allowed our paralegals to start coming in on Saturdays when there's no one else in the office.
Right.
They work a full day like they want to, and then they take the following Friday off for a three-day weekend. And that has seemed to work out real well because they're able to get a lot of work done when there's no one else here in the office, and they look forward to the following weekend. So that's really helped out here.
Tina, I bet there's a lot of people that like that idea a lot on this call. Thanks for contributing that. And how about you, Sandy? Anything that you want to suggest that works?
At the moment, I have workers here, so it's kind of hard for me to talk.
Okay. All right. That's okay.
Low.
We'll let you off the hook.
Okay.
Thanks. And now I'm going to turn this call over to Chris Lee, and she's going to talk to those of you on the call that might be designated hitters or actually might be doing marketing assistance with your attorney. So go ahead, Chris, and take it away.
Absolutely. For those of you that may not be as familiar with the term designated hitter, attorneys and their staff tell us that one of the most common interruptions that they experience on a daily basis is the calls from clients who are anxious to know what's going on with their case, which is understandable. So to manage that process proactively, one of the things that Atticus recommends is that the attorney actually choose a paralegal or assistant to introduce the clients at the very start of the engagement so that they can be the main contact for the client questions, just like Chad was talking about earlier, being in the know and being able to help on a lot of the basic questions without having to disturb the attorney. So if they get a question they can't answer, then obviously the attorney is consulted and they get back with the client in a timely fashion. One of the other things that we recommend that has worked out quite well is for the designated hitter to actually call out to clients once a month to update them on what has been done on their matter and inform them of what is needed to keep them moving along and, again, answer any new questions that they might have. And all in all, the client feels very well taken care of, and the attorney and staff actually will have fewer calls to deal with. So one less interruption is always a very good thing. So the question that I have for the team is, are you introduced at the beginning of work with a new client?
This is Darcy, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
We do introduce our paralegals to new clients fairly regularly, not always in person, which is something that we've just talked about implementing in our firm, but certainly when we make new client appointments, generally speaking, when we're giving general information to a client prior to their appointment, one of the things that we do mention to them on the phone is that we do work as a team and that we do have other staff that helps work on their case, and that we choose the pass down method. If there's something on their case that can be done by a paralegal, we're going to have the paralegal do that, and this is the paralegal that would work most often on your case.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's not told to them in the beginning, it is certainly mentioned at their initial meeting with the attorney.
Yeah, that's excellent. So you're training them about what to expect and how they'll be taken care of, and that's awesome.
Yeah.
Hey, Chris, this is Chad.
Yep.
We do the same thing with our intake process. We make sure that the new clients get to meet every member of the team here, and also we provide them with like a client notebook, a guide, you know, that just explains a bunch of, you know, legal terms, things like that, and also out each staff member and what their position is, and so everybody knows that they can contact any of us.
That's awesome. I love the guide in the notebook, and not surprised to hear that since y'all are doing such an awesome job with the checklist. It's like, that stuff does take time to create, but man, you can just, the use you get out of it is wonderful.
Absolutely.
Cool. Anybody else? Okay, since Darcy and Chad, y'all are doing it, when you're introduced, do you happen to have a card that you give? Do either of y'all use the business cards?
We do.
Okay.
We do have business cards. I know that I have them. I don't know if the other paralegal in the office has them or not, but I do have business cards, and I do, you know, that kind of goes to the marketing aspect, in my opinion. I often will be out and about somewhere, and our particular law firm has part of our practice is on adoptions.
Mm-hmm.
And I am often in a place where, you know, I'm talking to friends or people in a community place, and they ask what I do.
Mm-hmm.
And when I tell them, you know, they think a lot of people know someone who has interest in adoption in one way or another, and it's very easy for me to just pull out a couple of business cards and hand them on over rather than say, oh, well, here's my number, give me a call if you want to talk, kind of thing.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, because usually they're asking me on behalf of a friend or someone that they know.
Oh, yeah, and there's so much that staff can do to support their attorneys with their marketing efforts, and that's mm-hmm. one small one.
Yeah. Hey, Chris, our whole team has receptionists, everybody has business cards, and we try to do the same thing, you know, give as many as we can, especially when, like she said, when we're in situations where people ask what we do, and we can mm-hmm. give out several business cards. And we, in our Monday meetings that we have every Monday, we kind of give out a marketing award, and everybody tells what they've done to help market the firm, and then whoever's done the most or whoever did a really good job, we give them a little award.
Oh, that's awesome.
I mean, it helps promote, you know, things like that and keep everybody always thinking about that, because you're right, it is very important for us to help promote the team and the firm and to help everybody.
Absolutely. That's great. Anything else to say on that question from the rest of the team before I ask the next question? Okay. The other thing I'd like to know is if y'all have a regular schedule for actually calling out to the clients on a monthly basis so that you can update them, and if so, how are you managing that schedule?
Chris, this is Darcy. We don't really have a schedule per se.
Mm-hmm.
I know that the paralegal that's in the office that handles the mail is very good to send letters with copies of things that come in the mail.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, we, between us, usually have good communication with our clients, whether it's by email or telephone. They know that they can call us. But if something significant happens in a case, we do initiate a phone call to the client to inform them.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that's more on a case-by-case basis rather than on an actual solid schedule.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So you've got the email and phone coverage as your proactive way of managing it, and then you've
yeah.
got your criteria for...
We certainly obtain email addresses from our clients when they fill in our initial intake form
yes.
and ask them directly if they prefer email communication, because in this day and age, so many people do.
Yes. Yeah, I do the same thing. I love it, and it's a wonderful way to communicate, a very non-intrusive way to communicate.
Mm.
So it's good that that's part of your checklist, actually. Cool.
Hey, Chris.
Yes.
It's Chad. I wanted to tell you that we're the same way, like Darcy said. We have a set schedule for clients, like past clients and things like that. We still maintain contact with them, and we have calendar reminders to just, you know, if it's been several years, we'll check on them once a year just to make sure how they're doing. We'll call them on the anniversary of their divorce or anything like that. Mark feels like we should bury the client in contact. We send birthday cards to
mm-hmm.
them. I mean, we keep them abreast of everything that's going on, and that is something so vital and important. So we always try to practice great communication with the client.
Yep, I couldn't agree more, and actually we're going to we'll probably have you say a bit more about that even when we talk about some of the specific things that y'all can do if you take on the role of marketing assistant, and that's one of them, because we cannot acknowledge our referral sources enough. So...
Right.
That's fabulous. How do y'all select the clients that you call? Is there any criteria as far as the cases that are on the plate or just things that are more urgent, the deadlines, the, you know, the court hearings? How are you using, what criteria are you using as far as which folks to call since your time is precious?
Well, certainly for our law firm, you know, we check our calendar so many days in advance and keep abreast of what's coming up the next day or two. And certainly, you know, a lot of clients are calling us occasionally because they might be really excited about an upcoming hearing or upcoming event. But the ones that don't call us, certainly we want to make the effort to make sure that they know when their hearing is and where they're going. And we just do a, you know, kind of like when a dentist calls you to remind you of your dental appointment, we call them a day or two ahead of time to just confirm and make sure they know where they're going and how to dress appropriately for court.
Oh, yeah, and I like that analogy, Darcy, because even for each of us, we know when we get a special call back, any type of gentle reminder like that, we appreciate it. So the clients do, too.
Hey, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
It's Chad again. That's, like, especially like what Darcy was saying with, like, an event like a hearing or a trial or something like that, this is what I preach all the time to everybody, but these checklists are so important because we've taken the time to think these checklists through, and they have things on there like we meet for a 60-day meeting and a 30-day meeting, mm-hmm. and they say things like send a letter to the client, you know, with a checklist telling them what's appropriate to wear to court, you know, witness tips, things like that. And we've built that into the checklist so you don't even have to think about that stuff. It's just there, and you know, and we've created form letters we can print out and send to them. I mean, it really makes the process so much easier, and you're still keeping that contact with the client and creating that value and service for the client.
Oh, I live off of the checklist as well, Chad. It's like I am the checklist queen, and it's just one less thing in my head. If it's on paper and it's visual and I've got that little block, I can easily see where I'm at and how I'm forwarding the project, and it's just one less thing I have to think about. So I think that's fabulous that y'all are making such good use of the checklist. I guess the most important question I have for y'all is, what difference has this approach, because it is a very proactive approach that y'all are talking about here, what difference has this approach made for you and your attorney and obviously the client?
I think the clients, especially with our experience here, that the clients have just absolutely loved it. And, you know, they just feel, they always feel like they're always updated. And we've had clients come from different attorneys, and that's always been the number one complaint is contact, that they feel like they can't ever reach their can never reach their attorney, or they're always leaving messages, and that is just one thing that we have really, really strived not to. And you know, we always want to keep them abreast of everything that's going on in complete contact, and keep them satisfied, because that's going to be your biggest referral.
Here you go,
happy clients.
There you go. That's it. Awesome, Darcy. You seeing the same thing?
I am. We have a lot of referrals from various sources, of course, and just like Chad said, you know, the biggest complaint from people who have had a legal history, so to speak, they do have a tendency to have a lot of misgivings about communication from a law office. They feel put off all the time and like their call isn't returned. And you know, we have realistic timelines as to when we're going to return a call, but realistic to us is in the same day at least, and hopefully within a half an hour to an hour. At the longest amount of time that they would be waiting.
Mm-hmm.
To put someone off too long is just, it doesn't sit well with the client.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they call you when they have an opportunity to call you.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to assume that the time frame where they're going to be able to receive your call back is going to be fairly small.
That's right. For the rest of you on the team here that are not using this designated hitter possibly at this moment, do you see where this could be a value, something that you might want to take on? If you're trying to speak, you may be on mute, and if not, okay. So maybe it's just not a fit at this particular time, but from what Darcy and Chad has shared, something that y'all could consider in the future. On that, Sean, okay to go ahead and just sort of discuss the role of marketing assistant a bit?
Yeah, because we're getting down to the wire. So, yeah, let's ask a few of our marketing assistant questions.
Yeah. One of the things I'd like to say about that is that Atticus does not recommend that a paralegal assist with marketing activities due to the negative impact that that would have on billable hours, of course. But just like a paralegal assists the attorney with the matter, a marketing assistant, which we often call a paramarketer, can be a secretary or a key assistant, an intern, even a part-time employee who's going to act as a support person for the attorney's marketing efforts. And a marketing assistant can really leverage the attorney's time to reach a far greater number of contacts than they would if they were left on their own. So if y'all are acting in this capacity or you feel like this may be a good fit for you, a few of the ways that Atticus has seen marketing assistants make a difference for an attorney is things like scheduling a lunch or breakfast or marketing meeting. And actually, the Atticus Golden Rule is 3 marketing contacts each week. Managing the database of clients and referral sources. Planning and managing events, especially if you're a people person. Building what we call like a TOMA program, the top of mind awareness, whether that's possibly something like a newsletter or even a broadcast email or just even as simple as clipping articles and with a little personalized sticky note from the attorney. Chad mentioned about the use of birthday cards and same thing, thank you notes, anything that you can keep on hand to sort of batch and present to your attorney so that they can personalize them in advance is going to be wonderful. There's always speaking engagement prep, delivering gifts, buying tickets. A lot of people really prefer the moments over merchandise, so for those people, you can do a lot around the area of concerts or sporting events, theater tickets, gourmet cooking, wine tasting, that kind of stuff. And then, of course, prompting your attorney into action whenever they want to stop marketing, because they will, especially if they feel like their marketing efforts are working. And Mark Power's mantra is never, ever, ever stop marketing. And that's one of the biggies at the top of his biggest marketing mistakes list, along with not having a marketing assistant. So in this capacity, for those of y'all that are on our panel, how do you help your attorney set these types of marketing lunches?
Chris, this is Darcy.
Mm-hmm.
we keep an ongoing list of who our top referral sources are, mm-hmm. and we generally just run through that list and make marketing lunch appointments for the attorney. Mm-hmm. And in addition to that, of course, when we have an initial contact or an initial consultation with a client that's been referred by a referral source, that we send them a note, a nice little card, you know, thanking them for the referral and, you know, that we've met with this person and it was nice of you to refer them to us.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the things. And then certainly every year we have an annual event that we invite everyone to, and we send invitations to, of course, our referral sources. And finally, we send out at the end of the year usually something that's some sort of gift. Sometimes it's hand-dipped chocolates or something along those lines, but something to just acknowledge that we appreciate the referrals that they've made to our law firm and their trust in us to help that person they referred.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Now, you mentioned the top 20 list, which, of course, Atticus is very big on. Do you actually have that as a document in a central location that you can refer to, so when you're putting together the most important events and stuff, those folks are always included?
We sure do.
Yeah, that really helps, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Darcy, do you also see that when it comes to making the calls on behalf of your attorney, that there are many calls that you can make? I mean, obviously, there's some calls that the attorney must make to referral sources, but you're actually able to make a difference scheduling the appointments and stuff for the attorney?
Absolutely. I've just recently taken this on, so I can't give you any good feedback on it yet.
Mm-hmm.
But I can say that in looking over the list and in initiating the calls, I'm very comfortable. You know, most of the people are people that I work with or talk to on a fairly regular basis about some of our other cases.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very easy for me to, you know, just talk to them about scheduling some time and mm-hmm. just to have
just
a little
work it right in.
Sure.
And you
and
keep a nice stash of the cards and notes, so those are always on hand and you can have those to send out.
Yeah, we sure do. Each attorney has them in their desk so that they can write them out, and that's actually on our intake form in the office use portion so that they can check off whether or not they sent out their card.
Oh, good.
So we have that documented, whether or not they remembered to do it, so that when it comes through for, you know, client or non-client processing, that can be checked by the person who's opening the file to see if that was done.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Anyone else on that note as far as setting appointments, setting marketing meetings or lunches, breakfast, supper, any of that stuff?
This is Chad. We do a lot of the same things that Darcy was talking about, especially it's on our intake form as well to find out who the referral source is immediately, and we get a card or we send them a gift, and we are in the process of planning a signature event for every year. We're going to try to do it maybe in January. And another thing that we do that I think helps a lot is with our satisfied clients, we conduct an exit interview, and we get them back in here, and we try to get some feedback on them. We kind of just, you know, and then sometimes if it's a big case and we've had a great result, we'll have a small party, and we'll have champagne and give them a bottle of champagne and things like that. And those are things that I think that keep people talking about us and keep things out there for us. And we have our firm administrator here is always in charge of making sure that we have our ads in the paper and our names always out there. And our receptionist is in charge of all the cards, and she knows the our clients' kids' birthdays and think graduations or high school, you know, she's always sending out cards and keeping us reminded of things like that. So we're always keeping contact with people.
Oh, yeah. And on the, that's a good point, Chad, because even when it comes to the bulleted item of managing the database of clients and referral sources, that's a huge one if y'all can just do your thing around finding out that basic information around birthdays for obviously the client's spouse, the children, their anniversary, even clear down to favorite foods and wines, restaurants, that kind of stuff. It's going to be information that y'all can use to spice up your marketing efforts.
We have things like that on our intake form. We have what's your favorite book, what are your hobbies, things like that, so we can know things like that for gifts and things like that. And another thing that is really big, especially around here, and we're kind of known for this, is we have tapped into our court systems with our court administrators and our clerks, and they know every year in December we send them chocolate-covered strawberries.
Oh, that's good.
And everyone knows, and when you go to the court, you know, they know, because I know, I'm sure that they get calls a lot for, you know, I need an attorney or whatever. It just helps to know that you've got those contacts out there and to maintain those throughout the year.
Oh, yeah, it's very, very wise. And Mark mentions to the attorneys all the time that as steep as competition is, your attorney is really fighting for his or her market share. And so anything that we can do to stand out, remain top of mind, is very important. So that's quite good.
Hey,
now,
Chris, can I jump in and just ask Chad for a second to describe the signature marketing event that he's helping to plan?
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's in the process, and we're trying to plan something that everyone every year will go, oh, we need to go to that event because it's fun and it's nice. And we're trying to plan a winter blues jazz party.
Ooh.
Right now, just something kind of light and fun, and maybe in the end of January. And, I mean, that's what we're working on. Mark has preached Atticus things for me for years, and this is a big thing that he said that he learned from the Atticus system, was try to get a signature event that everyone will remember, mm-hmm. that's, you know, your firm event, and you have to go to it. And we're going to try to. We have a referral list. We have our top people that, of course, we'll invite, that we send Christmas gifts to every year and keep in contact with throughout the year. But we're going to try to invite some other firms and maybe firms that don't, you know, because we only specialize in divorce.
Mm-hmm.
So other firms that may not, that can send us business and things like that. So we're planning it right now, and it's going really good. And it's a process, and but this will be our first year to do it, but we're excited.
Oh, and you're right in the right time frame, because we just actually did one of our calls. I think it was like, I want to say August, of prompting the attorneys to start thinking of that event and getting in motion for before things get hectic. So good for
right.
you.
Good, good. And now, Chris, since we're approaching the end of our time, I'd like to thank everybody on our panel, Darcy, Arlene, Juliet, Lisa, Sandy, Tina, Sean, another Sandy, and Chad for all of your great contributions. And I'd like to address the rest of the listeners on the call and ask you guys to, even if you're alone, hopefully some of you are sitting in groups with your other teammates in your offices, to take the next few minutes after you hang up and go through, hopefully some of you have taken notes, go through and pick out the one or two things that you've learned on this call that you think you can use in your practice. What can you borrow, lift, steal from this call that you can implement that will make a difference in how you support your attorney, either in managing their time, managing their marketing, keeping their desk organized, or keeping clients happy? Lots of good ideas were shared here today. We really appreciate your attendance. So take a few ideas and make a difference with your firm.
Absolutely.
And with that, Chris, thank you very much, and we'll say goodbye to all of you.
Yes,
thanks for your
attendance.
Thanks,
team.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.